Everybody, yes. I just wanted to throw that in there a little
way
bit.
To go, Ken.
It is Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And you are listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio.
And for the record, Ken is still reading that off the wall.
I just think it really emphasizes.
Almost 2 years
later.
It
helps me along. And you're also listening to us. We are broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, because our guest tonight also has a show on QNation.fm.
Really?
She's like screaming out there on the street. They're screaming for QNation.
Oh my gosh, they're so excited.
And for WVW. All right, let's jump right into the news. A lot of education news. A lot of stories of things happening at various colleges. Did you read about Hope College?
Tell me all about Hope College.
There's a college called Hope, which I think is...
It's a lovely good name.
Not so much.
Do they offer rehab too?
I don't think that they do. It's not Second Chance College. Hope College, they have said this week that they will not, Rebecca, remove a policy on homosexuality and won't change their administrative decision-making process. Alumni, student, and community groups, in a coordinated effort, each had petitioned the Board of Trustees to drop a 1995 policy on homosexuality that condemns homosexual acts and gay advocacy, but supports, quote, fair and kind treatment for people with a homosexual orientation.
So what does fair and kind treatment mean if it means that we condemn them?
It means that's what they're doing. They're condemning. That's their fair treatment.
That's not fair.
Well, they're doing it across the board, though. They're not discriminating by homosexual. They're discriminating against every homosexual. So I think that they're being both fair and balanced. And so they also will support an academic discussion of issues related to homosexuality.
Well, that's something.
So if you go to Hope College and you're gay, not so much with the hope. So be very careful there. The other big story that was out there this week was about Marquette. And Marquette University, which is in Wisconsin, which is a state, a Seattle University professor is accusing Marquette of offering her a job. Did you read about this? Did you see this?
Tell me all about it.
I will tell you all about it. The Seattle University professor, whose name is Jody O'Brien, said that Marquette offered her a job and then rescinded the offer when they learned that she is a lesbian. She said that she accepted a post as the dean of Marquette's College of Arts and Sciences, but the university's president stepped in before it was made public.
Everyone knows deans can't be gay.
I'm a dean. I'm very gay. So Jody O'Brien
You're
said...
You're so gay.
So gay. Jody O'Brien said, quote, "I'm stunned and disappointed. The College of Arts and Sciences at Marquette is strong and vibrant, and I was looking forward to working with the students and faculty there. Hundreds of students have protested the decision, chanting and carrying signs outside the annual faculty dinner. Students and professors told this TV station, that the school was scared off after they discovered O'Brien's academic writings about gay marriage and sex." Not good.
Fighting something like that can be so hard because they could dig up anything from her Facebook account or something like that and say that that's what it was. You know, they could do a background check and say they found she had 3 speeding tickets in 1987 and that's why.
The interesting piece is that
employment discrimination is so hard to prove.
Yeah, she's at Seattle, and I think it's even more difficult to prove now. She's at Seattle University, which is also a Catholic Jesuit college, just like Marquette. So it makes her case. It's not like she could stand up and say, "No Jesuit Catholic college will take me," because obviously she's at one.
Right.
I just think about the process by which she's gone through of just interviewing and interviewing and interviewing and then getting the job. I'm sure it was a couple day interview and met tons of people and there were all these other candidates and this was a national search. Marquette's not a small school.
Right.
It's a known school. And then to have it rescinded after is just,
that's
it's not
bad.
Good.
Has she already left her other position?
I do not know. That would be terrible.
Because then she would have a case.
That would not be good. So there were these articles about how can gay people break through the stained glass ceiling of Catholic colleges? I have no desire.
But why do you want to?
Well, that's the question. But, you know, people like working at Catholic colleges. Some of my good friends work at Catholic colleges.
That's
at Jesuit
true.
Schools. I enjoy parts of my PhD is from a Jesuit institution. I enjoyed parts of that process. I don't know.
This is a conversation I've had with some of my friends, though. It's just, I have no interest in working somewhere where I need to be in a closet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No interest, zero.
All right, we are going to play a little music. Tonight's guest has requested some jaunty tunes, and we're going to start at I Have Not Heard This Song in So Long.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to keep our mics on as it starts, just so I can get your reaction. You ready? Because
okay.
I think you'll know it right away. So here we go.
Holy moly.
There you go. Enjoy, everybody.
Got you there.
Yeah, you know, you threatened to turn up my mic so people can hear me singing. People should only be so blessed.
I know. I'm not saying it would be a threat.
Podcast or on their live Wednesday night.
I want to share the experience with other people. That's
we all. Actually do a live show on Wednesday nights. Not sure
we do.
Know that.
It's live.
Not sure if people are aware
and
of
some
that.
Days we're a bit more scattered than others.
Well, so this is kind of a response to what you said right before we started playing Hey Mickey about why would people choose...
Holy moly?
No, that was funny too. But why would people choose to be parts of these institutions? A Roman Catholic school in Massachusetts has withdrawn its acceptance of an 8-year-old boy with lesbian parents, saying their relationship was in discord with church teachings, according to one of the boy's mothers. It's at least the second time in recent months that students have not been allowed to attend a U.S. Catholic school because of their parents' sexual orientation. With the other instance, I think it was last month, in Colorado. The Massachusetts woman who spoke on the condition of anonymity because concerns about the effect of publicity on her son, very good, we like yes. that, we like that, said she planned to send the boy to third grade at St. Paul Elementary School in Hingham. Is mm-hmm. that seems to be something you would know.
That's like an actual town, Hingham.
A Boston yep. suburb.
Sort of, it's more, yeah, it's closer to...
But she said she learned her son's acceptance was rescinded during a conference call Monday with Principal Cynthia Duggan and the parish priest. I'm accustomed to discrimination, I suppose, at my age and experience as a gay woman, but I didn't expect it against my child, said the mother. And later on in the article, so the comments to the article were questioning, why? Why would you see, obviously the school's not accepting. Why would you send your student there? Why would you send your son or daughter there? And there was a great quote, which for some reason I didn't cut and paste, just about how it is a different education. It is a very structured education, and it's something that they were very much looking for their son. And so to not have that be an opportunity because of their sexual orientation is fairly messed up.
Well, I'm guessing that in Massachusetts, they're going to have a better chance of a fight.
Well,
but at the same time, I mean, this is exactly what the right-wing folk, the real extremists, always say, is that gay marriage will affect the rights of churches.
Right.
So...
Yeah, no. I mean, if there's ever a better state for this to happen in, it would be Massachusetts, because they would have a fight. But my gosh, I can't imagine that
but
they want to
why
take
are we
that
still here?
Here?
Why? Here. Why? Why are we still here?
We accept
why?
That we're here. We accept that we're
I
here.
I don't.
You know why?
I don't accept that we're still here.
The world is changing. The world is changing. If you didn't hear, after more than 130 years of being banned, it is now legal. It's legal, Becca, to cross-dress in Oakland, California.
Oh, thank goodness.
I love this story.
We're making such great strides.
City Council member Rebecca Kaplan proposed a repeal of the century-old law, saying such laws are frequently used to oppress the LGBT community. The council voted unanimously yesterday to remove the ban. A second vote is necessary to complete this repeal process. Not really sure why. That vote is set for May 18th. The law was adopted in 1879. if you didn't hear correctly, I just said 1879, not 1979. 1879, it bans people from dressing, quote, in the attire. Because I feel like if we're talking about 1879, you got to do some sort of highfalutin accent. That was my attempt at it. In the attire of the person of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
It started out highfalutin, and then somehow my accent got seedy. I don't know what happened there.
Well, that's back at the invert theory that homosexuality was caused by the wrong soul being trapped in a body.
1879.
No, that's the timing of the invert theory, I swear.
Officials,
I'm not making this up.
Officials said the law was never enforced. But hey, Oakland, living in Oakland. Am I going to Oakland?
Go for
it. I get confused where Oakland is in California. I should look at a map. I feel like you know. Is that part of my travels?
It's in California.
From San Francisco to LA? Am I heading to Oakland? I don't know.
I don't know. Did you get it last time?
I should probably put it on our website. I need some voting because I need some help with my costumes for the AIDS ride, which is coming up. It's so soon.
It really is. You need to get on that.
It's 2 weeks from
I saw
Friday.
You hit your goal.
I did hit my goal. What helps in hitting your fundraising goal, I know there's a lot of people out there fundraising.
Harassment. I mean,
well, harassment
persistence.
Helps enormously. It's also helpful if you change your goal. Because if you change your goal and you make it lower, and if you even make it lower than what you've already raised, you hit it.
Yes.
And that, I believe, is what happened in the case of Ken Schneck raising money for the AIDS ride.
Could but have all happened that way, said, but I wasn't going to say that you're... yeah, I wasn't going to say that your goal came down to meet your fundraising status.
I sent 3 or 4 emails and I raised $2,300.
That's not
good.
Bad.
Pretty good. I was proud of that. Next year... $5,000.
Okay.
Next year, I will raise $5,000.
I still owe you $9.
I need your $9, everybody out there. I'm not supposed to say that on the air.
No,
but I already
not.
Said it. So go to thisshowissogay.com and give me $9. So that's pretty much
and
it.
And that
What's
is not a
Oakland.
Call to action.
No, it's not. But give me $9. So I need help with the costumes. I need... One of the days is... And I know my friend Mark Gensler finds this to be offensive, and I probably agree, but I need a costume for Appalachian Day.
Oh, that is...
I know.
That is offensive.
It's not good. It's not good. I would also like to
take
this
opportunity. Can we not, like, oppress each other? Isn't that the whole point?
I'd like to take this opportunity to give a shout-out to all our listeners in West Virginia. There. I feel like I made up for Appalachian Day. So I need a costume for Appalachian Day. I need to get together my cheerleading costume. I'm all set for funny t-shirt day. I'm kind of happy with my funny t-shirt, but I can't say it on the air because it's inappropriate. Red dress day, I have no idea what I'm doing. Rainbow day, I have to be purple. I don't own...
You have to be purple?
Yes.
They assign these things?
It's based on your truck. There are trucks A through P. Mm-hmm. Guess what truck I'm on?
Purple?
I'm on P. I'm all the way at the end. I'm not happy. Aww. I shouldn't say I'm not happy because I know that they're listening to this, but I feel
That's
like,
the
oh, they took the Vermont
truck.
It's so not.
It so
oh,
is.
Gosh. We're
You're
gonna play
on
more
it.
More music. And I'm going to play Out Here on My Own because that's how I feel in truck B. Enjoy.
Sometimes I wonder where I've been, who I am, do I fit in? Make believing is hard alone, out here on my own. Rising star to guide me far and shine me home. Never show.
She's out there all on her own.
She is.
I want her to have people with her. We're with her. And
I'm
let's
with
welcome
her.
More people with her. Are you ready to welcome a guest?
I am so ready to welcome
guest,
a guest.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I'm ready.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome. Oh my
awesome.
Gosh. Did you have some like
this is
Coca-Cola
like show number 79 and that was the most enthusiastic. Let's introduce you. Tim Moss. I have to tell you, Tim Moss to me is the very definition of what an entertainer is. He's an actor. He's a singer. No, hold on, Tim. I got a lot more. He's an actor. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's a director or producer. He's got a one-man show that we're going to talk about. It's about to hit the New York stages. He's our Q Nation FM neighbor with his fantastic show, Artist Exposed with Tim Moss, where he really gets at the heart of the great performances that are happening all around us. But above all else, Tim Moss is having a great time. Tim Moss, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you so much, Ken. Hi, Becca.
Hello.
How are you doing, Tim?
I'm just fabulous.
Now, Tim, was there anything going on in your life yesterday?
Yesterday, actually, it was my birthday.
I know.
Happy birthday.
We brought it up. Happy birthday, Tim. Did you have a lovely birthday? Number 29, I hear.
Again, yes. Yeah.
What did you do?
Oh, I did everything. Actually, I didn't do really any birthday thing.
Okay.
I don't think. But where did I start out? I started out with somewhere with a bunch of people. Oh, a meeting. I went out to Ariel Hyatt. She owns Cyber PR, and she has a lot of, like, gay entertainers and singers under her contract, and she just had, like, an open session yesterday where they would play out at her home in Brooklyn, and they would play, and then we would interview them. And
wow.
It was just an amazing day. It was just incredible. Then I swung by the Village, and I live in New York City. So I swung down to the Village, and I treated myself to a nice Italian dinner. And then I went over to see Rachel Sage at Joe's Pub at her CD launch party.
Awesome.
And that will be on my show on this weekend, this Saturday.
So. This is very exciting. Very exciting.
It is.
Now, Tim, you really get to talk to all of these just amazing New York performers. What's going on in the New York theater scene that everybody should know about right now?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot. As far as theater goes, it's really weird because I, like, move between different universes.
Yes.
Because I have a lot of interests. So I was just talking to somebody about this a couple days ago about how I had a really, like, strenuous day, like brain-wise, because I started off with a film director.
Okay.
Got into this really deep discussion, and then I moved to my one-man show, which is, I had a rehearsal for that, so that takes me in a completely different direction. And then I meet with a cabaret producer, which is a completely different genre, because he just lives cabaret. And then, what else was, oh, music. Then I ended up having an interview for my radio show, but there is so much going on in this town all the time. It's just amazing. And I am so fortunate to kind of be in the middle of it all. I've really been very blessed and very lucky to end up doing what I'm doing right now. So
yeah, folks, if you want to take a visual tour of the who's who in the entertainment scene right now in New York City, you simply need to go to Tim Moss's photos on Facebook.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is your...
It's a who's who.
You don't need to walk around. You don't need to go down to the Village or to Broadway.
But if you're going to go to those places, you need to look at the photos first so you know
so
who
you
to
know,
harass.
Yes, you know who you're talking to. So if you're out there in Ohio and you're like, oh, gosh, where's the theater royalty and where the musical royalty in New York City? That would be in the photo section on Tim Moss's Facebook. Just want to put that out there.
I'm a big Facebooker. I love Facebook.
Your post, I have to say, so now, I wasn't going to get into this until a little bit later on, but let's just dive right into it. Your posts on Facebook, Tim, just, and I say this, there's no more positive way I can say this, they reek of happiness.
Oh, guys, yes.
It's just, they don't, other people's posts, they're going for sarcasm or they're going for witty and it doesn't come across. Yours are going for joyful and they are coming across as joyful.
Well, thank you. I'm quite joyful.
What's the secret? You got the secret. I have been telling people all day. People are like, oh, who's on the show tonight? I said, Tim Moss.
The happiest man in the world.
I've been saying that. I said, Tim Moss is going to tell our listening audience what it means to be joyful. Go, Tim.
Well.
No pressure.
I would not recommend going the route I went.
Okay.
Joy. I was. Oh, gosh, let me try to explain real quick. When I first moved to New York, I got sidetracked and kind of talked into real estate, which I hated. I didn't want anything to do with it, but I kind of got manipulated and went with it. And I was so unhappy, and that's, I started drinking and started drugging and doing all of that. And over the course of 20 years, I was living hell. A total hell. It was just horrifying. I almost died several times.
Oh boy.
And it was so extreme towards the end of the addiction that I lost all my memories. There was nothing left of who I was. And once I realized that and I sought help and started rehabbing and my memory started returning to me, I remembered who I was. I remembered that I'm an entertainer. I'm not in real estate. I'm an entertainer, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just kind of held on to that, and nothing is stopping me. I refuse. If it doesn't bring me joy, then fuck it. It's not for me. Can I say fuck it?
Yeah, whatever. Tim,
not really,
okay.
but you know, who are the FCC
Community radio,
anyway?
Whatever. Q Nation FM. We could take them on.
Okay. Or we can bleep it.
Yeah, whatever.
Nation before many times. But basically, if it doesn't bring me joy, then it has nothing to do with me. My motto was, the first half of my life, I created an absolute living hell for myself out of my life. And the second half of my life, I'm going to create a living heaven.
Nice.
And I am.
But Tim, I'm going to press you a little bit on this, because there's so many people, it's not the most in-depth concept. People, you need to live your dreams and you need to be who it is that you're meant to be. But at the same time, there's so many people just not doing it. Why are people not doing it? How do we get them to do it?
Well, every person's journey is their own.
Right.
Nobody can do it for them. Nobody can answer these questions for them. Everybody has to look within themselves and to figure out exactly what it is that brings them joy and then do it. I recommend take the shortcut. That would be the shortcut. Look inside, find out what it is that you truly want to do and what you truly brings you joy, and then do it. Don't go the route I did. It's really nasty.
And
that sounds like the hard way.
And we want to put it out there to people that if you're not sure what your joy is, just send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com, and we'll just tell you, and you'll do what we tell you to do, and I think that'll work out.
Ken has opinions.
I have opinions, and I think that some people are struggling, and what they really need is for me to tell them what to do. I just want to put that out there.
Well,
it's a service.
Sometimes they do need a nudge.
It's a service. I'm performing a service. I just want to put that out there.
That's what Ken is meant to do. It brings him joy to boss people around and tell them what to do with their lives. So help him. Become joyful.
Tim, we have to ask you about the big news story of the week. So the big news story of the week in the entertainment world was this Newsweek article. Did you read the Newsweek article?
Newsweek? I don't think so. I think I heard about it, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, this was the guy who wrote this column in Newsweek who essentially said that gay people, gay actors, cannot be seen in straight parts. And he's saying that he was misunderstood, but he called out Sean Hayes, and he called out Jonathan Groff, who's on Glee right now, who's done a ton of Broadway shows. And there's a huge backlash in really a lot of different communities right now to this article. And he came out, the author came out, he didn't come out of the closet. He is indeed gay. And this is what he said, quote, to clarify. He said, quote, "But what all this scrutiny seemed to miss was my essay's point. If an actor of the stature of George Clooney came out of the closet today, would we still accept him as a heterosexual leading man? It's hard to say because no actor like that exists. I meant to open a debate. Why is that? And what does it say about our notions about sexuality? For all the talk about progress in the gay community in Hollywood, has enough really changed? The answer seems obvious to me. No, it has not." Can mainstream America accept a gay actor in a leading role, Tim Moss?
In some ways, I see what he's saying, but it always takes the first one.
Right.
Yeah, but hello, theater.
Yeah, theater. But theater is not mainstream America.
The first one, I've got a few comments on what this guy had to say, but it's going to take the first openly gay man to do it.
Okay.
And then he's going to, you know, just like everything else, he's going to be scrutinized and this and that. But one thing I would love to tell this man is, honey.
That's how it starts.
And I'm sorry, and my hand is on my hip. Do you realize how many men have played straight men and are still playing straight men in their own personal lives in Hollywood? that you think are straight, right, that are gayer than hell and have been playing straight men.
Right.
There you go.
Most of the men in Hollywood are gay or bi. They'll do anything to get that job.
There you go.
Right.
So that is Tim.
I think that is a very good point. Clearly, these, you know, the gay men in Hollywood are playing such good straight men that no one knows.
Exactly. Well, there
exactly,
you go.
Because they've had to. Hollywood is just is loaded with gay men, and even the leading men, much of the time, they're gay anyway. They're closeted because they think they have to be,
right,
and so they have been playing straight men their whole careers. You
and
know?
They've been doing a fabulous job.
That's fabulous with a lot of S's. We would like to put out there. All right, that is Tim Moss's commentary on Newsweek. It's going to be a weekly segment, Tim Moss's commentary on Newsweek. Now, Tim, we love your show. We love Artists Exposed.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you. I love yours, too. It's too much fun.
We definitely, when we hit up new guests, all we have to do is say, we know Tim Moss. And we find that greases wheels. It greases wheels. Who's your dream guest? I know you've talked to a lot of amazing people, and maybe you've already had your dream guest on. But who is your dream guest for your show?
Oh, probably Barbara Streisand.
Oh
boy.
Dream big.
What would you ask her? What are Tim Moss's patented questions for Barbara Streisand?
Oh my God, I would have a load of questions for her.
Nice.
How is life right now?
Okay.
Because she's just kind of off the radar.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on. Do you, you know, like clean house now? Do you? Because I think she's really getting into just like having a life because she's never really had one, you know?
Yeah.
But I have been a fan of hers since I was a child. And oh my gosh, I've got Barbara Streisand stories. But till I was in my 30s, I think, when she finally came back out and started to do and did her first live shows, her wow. first live concerts. And I was fortunate, and I stopped at nothing to get a $215 ticket.
Wow.
Whoa.
I always swore, because for like 30 years, she did not perform live. So I had always said, if that woman ever sings live in a room somewhere, I will be there. I will pay whatever it takes to get there.
And where was it?
And it was in Madison Square Garden. It was incredible. She exceeded my expectations.
Wow.
Look, that's so great.
She was incredible. Because I was so scared. I was telling the people around me actually, Dr. I don't know if you remember Dr. Ruth or are you?
Of course, yeah. Dr. The Ruth,
yeah,
Westheimer.
She was sitting behind me, and I mean the whole crowd was just like this amazing crowd. You know, I think that the mayor was there, and Liza Minnelli was sitting in the front row, and it was just, you know, an amazing crowd.
Wow.
And but I was telling the people around me that I have waited my entire life to be in the same room when Barbara Streisand sings. And I was so afraid that when they said, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Barbara Streisand, and I saw the curtain move, that I would faint, and then I would off stage.
Did you faint?
No, luckily I did not.
Good
I
work.
I stayed and with my mouth open in awe for the whole show. It was just incredible.
And all you could hear behind you was Dr. Ruth saying, I can't see over you. I'm not even going to try to do her accent. She's very tiny. She's very tiny. So we had your buddy Phil Putnam on the show a few weeks ago, and we love Phil.
I saw him yesterday.
Oh, I need to move back to New York. I want to see Phil Putnam just randomly.
Just breathe.
I know. I'm on it.
You're in Vermont now.
So one of the things that we talked about with Phil Putnam, and I know that you share this passion as well, and it's something that we try every week to talk to our listening audience about different parts of the gay community that New York City happens to have a ton of different parts of the gay community, but a lot of our listeners are living in places that either have no gay community or just maybe a gay bar.
Or three of us.
Or, yes. It's
four, maybe.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talked about was the cabaret scene, and that's something that a lot of gay communities don't have. And
yeah.
Am I correct in saying you do have a passion for the cabaret scene, do you not?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. It has suffered over the years so dreadfully. But one of the things that I want to do, I'm going to be affiliated with an internet television network soon.
Cool.
And I'm going to be kind of the New York correspondent. And one idea for a television show I came up with, because I go to see a lot of friends perform in, like, small cabaret clubs. Like, we have clubs called the Triad, Don't Tell Mama.
The Duplex. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to make Ken all weepy again.
I'm getting all nostalgic and weepy.
This is why we can't have New Yorkers on
the
show.
I know. We're going to have to put a ban on New York guests. No more New York guests.
Unless Tim hooks us up with some of his celebrity friends.
Unless it's Barbara, in which case she can call. So what are people missing? What are they missing if they don't have cabaret in their lives?
Oh, gosh. Just live performance. It is, you know, just being in the room. Because one of the things, that's why I wanted to televise this, it was because, and I want the show to be called New York Nightlife. And basically, we would just go to these different people who are performing, because they put on incredible shows, but nobody knows about them.
Right.
And just take a couple cameras, one for close-ups, one for distance, shoot it and air it.
Yeah.
And because they're really very classy shows and very sophisticated shows.
They are.
And just very enjoyable, and it's such a beautiful, wonderful night out, and hopefully that would help to kind of breathe life into the cabaret scene a little bit more. For one thing, how do I do this without bashing? But
yeah, go for
it. Don't get us in trouble now.
Get us in trouble. Go for it.
Don't get us in trouble.
No. This is just my personal opinion and view on Broadway right now.
Okay.
What the hell is going on with Broadway?
It's all spectacle. It's all spectacle.
It's total spectacle. It is. There's like no art whatsoever. Every now and then, a new idea kind of slips through, or a new show slips through. But it's basically just taking Spider-Man the Musical.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's
what the hell.
It's not good.
They're taking movies and just putting them live on stage.
It's high culture.
Theater.
Yeah.
It's not theater, and. But however, one thing in their favor, finishing my thought on that is, and they're charging like $100 and $150.
It's so inaccessible. It's just a shame. You know, I grew up 6 miles outside of New York City. My parents would take us to Broadway shows just all growing up, you know, chorus, everything, Dreamgirls, Chorus Line, everything, right. All growing up. And you just can't, my sister took her kids to Lion King, which we'll talk about that another day, but took her kids to Lion King a few weeks ago, and it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and it's, it's ridiculous. Oh,
I mean, you can still get some tickets at the TKTS booth or whatever, but that's it. That's the only way to be accessible. But and then you don't know, I mean, especially if you're traveling.
Yeah, those tickets are for, like, nonsense.
If you want to plan ahead and get a specific show, you're going to be paying. You're going to pay for it.
That's
and the
so
thing
depressing.
Is rather than, like, people that are coming out of town, that's why I kind of want to push the cabaret scene.
Yes.
Is rather for people who are coming in from out of town paying, like, $400 for three people to go see a show, why not spend maybe $80 or $100 and go to a cabaret?
Yeah.
And you can go to three or four of them. For the same price it would cost to go, not that I'm trying to undercut Broadway or anything.
No.
Broadway. And one wonderful, wonderful thing on Broadway right now is Million Dollar Quartet. It's an original piece. It's an original show. They brought it from Chicago, and Levi Christ is in it. You know Levi?
We know, and he was nominated for a Tony.
Sure was.
And he is nominated for a Tony. I just went and saw him and went backstage and talked to him after the show. He is just incredible and very deserving of that Tony.
That's fantastic.
He's amazing in that role.
Yeah, well, I have to say, look, that was my favorite part about working in piano bars when I was paying my way through college. Yeah. It was just being there at night.
And what were you doing at the piano bar?
I was singing at the piano.
Can you tell us about it? Because the new Q Nation people, they don't know about
I was
your
singing waiter
dirty,
in New
dirty
York
past.
City. Well, it wasn't dirty. I just wasn't as good as the other people. And I would just be sitting there singing at the Duplex and singing at the Five Oaks, which was then the Oaks, and it's not even there anymore. Just thinking, holy crap, this is so much better and so much more accessible than anything you're seeing on Broadway. And I was just, every night, every time I went, I would go and say, what the hell am I doing singing in this place? Because these fellow performers, you know, Kate Pizzakis and Kaz Smith and just all these incredible people, just working with them and seeing, why are you spending all of your money on Shrek the musical, which I'm sure is great. And Christopher Sieber, we love you. But at the same time, this is so much better. You can interact. You can just be so much closer to it. And I don't know.
You might never get your drink order, but
yeah, I will say I was not so good at that.
Yeah, I can't picture it. I cannot picture it.
Excuse me. I know you ordered something, but I'm in the middle of Suddenly Seymour. So yeah, no, it's not good. It was not good. All right, Tim, we got to talk about your musical selections for this evening. Are you ready?
Oh, sure.
We're going to analyze you. We're going to have you analyze yourself.
You are going to psychoanalyze yourself, Tim Moss, based on your musical selections that we have played thus far and the one that's going to play you out, which we're very excited to talk about, but let's not get there yet. So the first song we played kicking off tonight, a little ditty I have not heard in quite some time. What does Hey Mickey say about Tim Moss?
Well, I honestly have no idea what that song is about. I have used to dance my butt off to that in clubs. It's just fun, frivolous, no cares, total carefree fun.
There you go.
I wanted to be a singer and a dancer and an actor and a cheerleader.
And a cheerleader. Oh my God, that nice. Video. I mean, that's just that video. Talk about no plot, but it's just you could watch it for hours on end. Love it. All right, cool. Next up, what do we want to do? Let's do, what does Out Here on My Own say about Tim Moss?
That was from Fame.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which it kind of, for me, has a few different levels.
Okay.
One is I moved to New York by myself in the 80s when it was really bad city, real bad city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I moved by myself coming out here, not knowing what I was going to do, where to go, how to do it, or anything. And I was out here on my own. And that song just really connected with me. It was about, you know, trying to achieve a successful entertainment career. And I had no idea, no guidance or knowledge of how to go about it at that time.
Can I walk you through my thought process, what just went on in my head?
Oh, no.
Because I know it's scary, but I think it's important to share with both Tim and our listening audience. Right at some point in that, what you just said, all I can think about and all I'm thinking about now and all I want everyone to think about is Tim Moss as Coco, who was asked up to a seedy apartment by the quote-unquote filmmaker. I'm just putting that out there. If people haven't seen the movie... Now you got to put Tim Moss in that role, who just got to New York City and is trying to make it big and was asked up to the apartment by the quote-unquote filmmaker. Just putting that out there. And then the song that we are so excited to play, and we want you to tell us all about it, what does Free Again by some guy named Tim Moss say about Tim Moss?
Well, basically, this was my first song that I ever wrote. And it's also the name, we've selected that as the title and the theme for my one-man show. Because basically what it is a spiritual, my spiritual journey through this life so far. And basically what it talks about is when we're first born and we're babies, we are our natural selves. We don't give a crap about the economy or celebrities or electricity, how that's done or anything. You know, nothing matters. We're just happy being ourselves. And then as we get a little bit older, we're taught, oh, no, you're thinking wrong. You've got to think this way. And then you're told, oh, no, you can't act like that. You've got to act this way, either by your parents or your friends or your school or society in general. And that, I think, is a cause of many people's anxieties and insecurities. And basically what the song is about is trying to get back to that natural self and free myself once again, because that is total freedom, is to be your natural self, exactly who you are, without cares and without worries.
But don't you feel like your natural self still is on Facebook?
Yes.
I just want to put that out there. I mean, yes, for the most part, we are unencumbered. But I do think that our natural selves are still connected to Facebook.
Dear.
I'm just putting that out there.
No, it's true.
We're born on Facebook. Hey, Tim, where can folks go to learn more about your show? What's coming up? Give us the Tim Moss shout out.
Okay. Well, Facebook is the best place right now.
Okay.
You. Facebook, Tim Moss, which is T-Y-M.
Not T-I-M, folks. It's T-Y-M.
T-Y-M.
Yes.
And simply because I'm having a really cool website developed right now, and it will be timmoss.com, but it's going to be about another month.
Okay.
But, okay.
So as of right now, if you want to know anything I'm doing, just go to Facebook. I post everything.
Yes. And it's joyful. It's joyful. Every single posting
is joyful.
It is so
much fun.
Tim, I'm just thrilled that we're on the same station as you.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
It's very fun.
It's pretty cool.
I it's good times. Yeah, I actually read the handbook this morning. We don't do any of the things that we're supposed to do, but that's okay.
Yeah.
They haven't yelled at us yet.
No, they haven't. Apparently,
neither has the FCC.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It'll
all catch up with us eventually.
It's one big Q Nation. We're all living under the big queer umbrella. Tim Moss, it is an absolute, absolute pleasure having you on the show. You, sir, you really are a joy.
Well, thank you very much. And Ken and Becca, I have had a ball. I love your show.
Well,
great.
Oh,
come back sometime.
We're gonna have
keep
you
us
back.
Updated. We're going to be watching you on Facebook.
And we're going to send Barbara your way.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful. I appreciate that.
Tim, all the best with the show. We hope it is just everything that you want it to be.
Yes,
I have no doubt it will be, but I'm so excited for the show. Tim Moss, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye, Tim.
When I was just a baby, I was busy just being me. I didn't care what people thought. I just enjoyed being free. The whole world was so wondrous, such a beautiful, joy-filled place. No limits, only universe, endless freedom, open space. But then the whole world shifted, I'm being told how I should be. Don't think like that, don't act that way, basically, stop being me. To be free again, free. Again, to change my whole life around, when nothing can hold me down, just free to be me. I grew up with self-pity, was full of guilt and self-doubt. I didn't know where I was, I didn't know how to get out. Some rooms of my mind, oh, they can be so very dark. I'm lost, I'm frightened, and I cannot feel my heart. Oh, please show me how to get back out where it's clear. And from deep within my soul, a quiet voice said, I'm here. I wanna be free again, free to be me again, to change my whole life around, when nothing can hold me down, just free to be me. The whole world's an illusion. It's whatever I choose it to be. Everything and everyone seem to have some control over me. Well, now I'm gonna take back the reins of my life in both my hands. I'm learning how to fly, and I don't care where I land. I don't care what has happened, 'cause I cannot change the past. The future's not here yet, so today is where it's at. I'm gonna be free again, free to be me again. Gonna change my whole life around, when nothing can hold me down, just free to be. can see who I am. I know who I am. I can feel who I am. And I love who I am. Now, I can truly say, I am free again. Free to be me again. To change my whole life around when nothing can hold me down. I am free. Change my whole life around. Now nothing can hold me down. 'Cause I'm free to be me. I'm free to be me.
Good stuff. He's free again.
Yes,
Tim Moss.
He is.
He's joyful. He's free again. It's good
and that's
stuff.
A secret to why he's so happy.
I know. Don't you just want to be that joyful?
Yeah.
Just what was that pause? I want to be happier. I think
I don't
everybody
know.
Wants to be
I'm a Jersey
a little...
girl. I'm all, you know.
Oh, you're disaffected.
Oh, I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
God, I'm supposed to be like dark or something. At least a little cynical.
Because you're
or
southern
sarcastic.
New Jersey. Northern New Jersey, we're happier.
I'm from the shore. There's
whatever.
Central New Jersey. There is such a thing.
We have some amazing, amazing
whatever,
guests.
Whatever, New Yorker.
We have some amazing guests coming up on the show. Just really incredible, incredible people. And it's kind of a lesson in, hey, send us guest ideas. And we're in this cool place right now where we send the guest a request that
and
you came up with.
And they say yes.
They say yes. And then we say, really? So send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com with your guest requests or just to tell us
and
what's
we'll
going
what
on in your life and we'll do what we can. People say, can you get Tim Moss on? Yes.
No problem.
Not a problem.
We'll just throw our weight around.
Can you get
a little
Dean
bit?
Spade on? Dean Spade going to be on the show. Rhee Carey on the show.
Your requests.
Tons of good folks. So just want to put that out there. That's really, there's not a lot else that's going
no.
on.
You know, it's been a miss, quiet news week,
it's
really.
Been a quiet... Well, this news week, not the Newsweek,
yes.
but the Newsweek, the magazine, has very much dominated the headlines. And so the guy, is it the director of Glee, the writer of Glee, the creator of Glee,
yes.
Glee creator Ryan Murphy has written an open letter calling for a boycott of Newsweek magazine until an apology is made to Sean Hayes and other gay actors for a recent article titled Straight Jacket that we talked about earlier. So, and the name of the author, I'm going to just bungle his name pretty bad. Ramin.
Oh, spell it. Just spell it.
First name, R-A-M-I-N. Last name, Setode. S-E-T-O-O-D-E-H. And send, you know, these writers are accessible. You can actually find his contact information pretty easily online. So send
if
him
you
an
want to stalk him, Ken, yeah. what have you been doing?
But a lot of people, so Cheyenne Jackson had a comment. Michael Urie sent out a little mass notification about his feelings. Kristen Chenoweth sent something out. So there's a lot of strong reaction to this Newsweek article. And in particular, he called out, and he really called out Sean Hayes. He called out, are you up on your Glee? Are you totally caught
up?
I
am caught up on Glee.
I am not. I haven't watched this week yet.
I saw it this week.
But he really calls out Jonathan Groff, who plays Rachel's... they broke up in the last episode.
I'm not telling you what
happened. Don't tell me yet. Don't tell me
yet. He might not even be on the show anymore, for all you know.
Oh, no.
Or he could be.
It's one of those two options.
Could be.
It's one of those two options. Oh, boy. So stroll on over to check out all of our upcoming guests. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Other things you can do is go on over to that Facebook. First, you're just going to see Tim Moss on there.
Never
he's there.
Never say Facebook.
That's what I say.
No, don't do it.
Facebook. Tim Moss, he's on there. He's on there right now. I just wrote him. I'm not kidding. I didn't make this
and
up.
And Ken's on right now.
And I'm
now.
On right now, too.
Get him.
And you could friend us. Ken Schneck, Becca Sheehan.
Yeah, we're pretty friendly.
Yeah, we're friendly. We'll take your friend requests. And also, please join our show page. This show is okay if you type that in. I even sent out a mass request for people to become fans of WVEW because we do broadcast. Just want to put this out there.
WVEW.
We are broadcasting live right this very second from WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio.
Unless, of course, you're listening to a podcast.
In which case,
if you happen to be listening to a podcast on a Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, then you're totally listening to a different version of us than is currently happening in the world.
That's weird if you're doing that.
There's weird time travel things that happen.
That's fine.
I can't tell you how many times I've called one of my friends to find out I'm interrupting myself.
Oh, that is a little bit bizarre.
They're listening to a podcast, yeah.
That's a little bit bizarre.
And then they start talking to me about 6 months ago as though it's happening right now.
I can't believe that that just happened to you. No, that was a show from November.
Right.
So that's actually, oh my God, you just talked to an Indigo Girl. No, that was actually, it's already 5 weeks ago at this point.
It was a little bit ago.
So that's
But we did talk to an Indigo Girl.
But people are, yes, people are doing their, you're setting up your summer travels and you're like, God, what am I going to listen to in the car? This show is so gay podcast. All right, we're done with self-promotion. That's it for us.
Yes.
Strolling over to thisshowisogay.com. I wasn't done. That's pretty much it for us, folks. We want you to get out there. We want you to be as joyful as Tim Moss. We want you to go buy a Barbara Streisand CD, find out what all the fuss is about with this new artist, Barbara Streisand. We want you to go on over to thisshowisogay.com and give me $9. Not that we're asking you, but please do. And that's pretty much it. Good on your end?
Great.
All right. We're going to play one more song to get us out. This is actually one of my favorite songs of all time. When it comes up in my workout mix, I'm happy. That's it for us, folks. Get out there. Do amazing things. Be joyful. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?
But a slow glowing dream that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried, silent tears full of pride in a world made of steel.